Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to
what's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Hope had a great weekend, and I again want to remind everybody to salute your veterans and take care of them. Saturday was Veterans Day, and God bless them for taking their life at limb for us. And again, I want to thank you once again and wish you a happy Veterans Day a couple days late. But what's going on? Well, you know, not much. Market's kind of in a malaise. Not a hell of a lot to think about, not a heck of a lot going on. But in the meantime, what do we got? We got a market that is a little bit softer. Volume came back a little bit. Volatility picked up a little bit. But I don't see anything major to really get into. I don't see a major sell-off or rally between now and the end of the year. I would think that seasonally we're a little bit stronger. And I think that you could see the markets continue to maybe drift a little bit, you know, that dull market drift, which we've seen for a while. But I do believe, as I've said many, many times, I think that the overall market itself is searching desperately for a reason to sell off. I think that the markets are looking possibly even at the tax plan, which is a piece of garbage. I don't understand why or who could be so excited about a plan that once again sticks it to the small business, allowing large corporations to pay 20% and small businesses to pay 25%. I don't think that that is something that is good for small business. I think that they did not address the debt issues in this whole mess. And you know, we continue to get sold to on the come that it will help growth and it will help GDP. And I will say BS. I don't think it helps at all. I, first of all, do not think that any of the big companies that they talk about bringing back their money, the repatriation and that tax, I believe that the minute they bring the money back, they go back and buy back their own stock. I do not think that they put it to work. If they had not put it to work so far with these boxcar record earnings now, why would I expect them to put it to work later? All right. That is something that is not that I do not understand. Okay. Why would a company take all that extra capital and not just buy back their stock? I mean, again, it's proven to be a winning strategy. It's the same or better than paying a dividend anyways. So why would they not go ahead and buy back their stock? I do not see a big spending spree that everybody sees. I still don't believe that we're talking about a 3% GDP, which I do not believe is real. When you look around at what's going on, you've got rail freight much lower. Well, if the rails are not delivering, then that means that we're not producing goods or selling goods. So if all that's the case, then where is it going to improve from? All right. Again, this goes back to the phony world in which we are directed and in which we live right now, and where we are told a bunch of stories that are not necessarily true. Okay. I mean, this is where you have, you know, not as much as you might think. Look at all of the companies that are in trouble. You can start with the retail industry, which is cracking desperately. Now, you may not think it's a big deal, but just remember all the real estate that they're involved with. Realize the ramifications of a total retail meltdown, you know, of all those stores. In strip malls that are out there that people that invested to are now, if they go bust, where are they going to get their rent from? Okay. Again, there's a whole chain of events that does not look very promising, you know, because each industry is not by itself. It has an effect on many other industries. So if the retail store goes out, then out goes the help that worked there. Out goes the maintenance that took care of the building. Out goes the guys that took care of the parking lot. And out goes the guys that invested in that piece of property. So there's a big chain of events. And if some of those investors put a lot of their money into it, then it also affects their spending habits going forward, which again then slows down the overall economy. So again, I ask you, where is it going to come from? And of course, you then tie in this new tax program, which, you know, with 97 different categories of tax now, I don't know, you know, but you tie in, okay, that big business will be able to underpay. I mean, big business already has the edge in regulatory and compliance issues. They've already got the edge because of who they are. And now you want to give them one more edge. So where does that bring in the true free market and a true competitive society? Because at the end of the day, competition brings you and me better deals, right? And I don't see where they're going to get the competition from. I think you're going to continue to see the little guy get creamed and the big guy continue to get bigger, which at the end of the day does not help anybody. Okay. It does help the rich, but of course, again, we fully agree and believe that the rich should be able to get richer in any time. I'm not against that. I think that they are a big cog to the society. However, I do not believe that they should get rich on the backs of a bad tax plan, because I think that this is where our government has let us down. I believe that McConnell and Ryan are really behind this garbage. And again, as they smile to you and they smile in your face telling you what a great job they're doing for you, just sew up your pockets, because I think they got their hand in there trying to get some more of the middle class cash. It's not a logical solution. What they have done is not a logical solution, and it does not address this most serious problem in this country, which is debt. Okay. How are we going to get rid of the debt? How are we going to change the things that got us into this mess in the first place? But nobody is talking about that because nobody cares. I don't understand why it's so hard to comprehend that you have to eventually pay that money back, unless you can continue to have the suckers of the middle class continue to pay through inflating asset prices. All right. But again, at the end of the day, should that not have been addressed? Should that not have been a part of the tax plan? Is anybody out there really believe that what they presented so far is going to create any major new whirlwind growth that we've been starving for years? Because we have had no growth in probably 15 years, really, when you look at it. So it's really not a very good package. But hey, you know, what can I tell you? I can tell you this. This is the Bubba Show. I can also tell you that I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I can tell you that, hey, I need your help. Check out highschoolinvesting.com. I'm looking to raise some capital so that we can continue that program. 300 high schools now, but it's coming to the time where I'm going to have to end it if I don't get some funding. You can go to Patreon, patreon.com/Bubba Trading, and make a donation if you'd like to. But you can also get the Bubba Show every day, either if you don't make a donation, every day you get the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm, 2 to 3 Eastern Time. And, of course, you can download the show there. You can also download the Sporting Edge. And last but not least, you can get Bubba's daily update, which I do every single day after the close, an email to you, a quick 3 to 5 minute video. So check it out at BubbaTrading.com. It's free. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop by real quick. I'll be right back. And more in Jane King after the break. The Bubba. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Let's see. It can't be that brings things to life. She brings good things to life. She's not GE. This is Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Continuing Report. Jane King, what's going on with this stupid tax plan? I'm pretty unhappy about it. What's going on?
Oh, my God. I know. It's like, come on. They just can't bring themselves to do anything bold. I mean, I think that's what's missing. Like, we have a bunch of, like, people in Congress who are just cowards. They're afraid to do anything. I mean, they're, you know, everything's got to be watered down. Everything's got to be kind of boring and milquetoasty. And it's like, come on, we really need to spur this economy. It's, I mean, there's, I guess, some tax cuts in it. But for the most part, it's not that big of a change. We really need drastic change. We need reform of taxes. We need an auditing of government. We need taxes dropped for everybody. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get it done or not. It's hugely disappointing.
I want to know your thoughts on this first. I happen to, you know, I usually don't look at these things too closely, but I did. And I want to know what you think about your small business, right? Are you a Subchapter S corporation or whatever?
We're an LLC.
Okay. So the big business gets the 20% rate, where small business gets 25% rate. Now, where is the fair and equitable balance there? explain that to me, since small business is the biggest driver.
One word, lobbying. I mean, you know, I mean, small businesses don't have money. I don't have Google money to open an office in Washington and take Congress people out for dinner and wine. I mean, you know, I mean, you think the Small Business Administration maybe would do a little bit more. I mean, but, you know, maybe because it's such, you know, just small businesses are so diverse. Yeah, small businesses are not getting what's been promised to them in this. I mean, I've heard some Congress people say, yes, you know, this is great for small business. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not happy with that. I'm just not happy that they're not cutting stuff. I mean, that we need to do that. I mean, you could probably cut 10 to 15% off government costs and nobody would even know. I mean, with old programs that are not even really running anymore, just waste, getting rid of waste. I mean, I don't understand why this is so difficult. And I think a lot of people on Wall Street are like, why is this so difficult? We deserved a sell-off yesterday, and I hope that sent a message, but I'm not sure that it did.
No, I don't think it did, because it obviously rallied right back. You know what? When it comes to money, people don't care. They're going to get by this. So, again, now, of course, we're in the middle of open enrollment, which, thank God for you. You're so happy. I'm sure you have another year of Obamacare. Okay. Now, what's going on? Have you started your open enrollment yet? I know it goes on for about 6 weeks.
No, I haven't. And, you know, like, I have been so ridiculously busy. Like, first of all, I work, like, you know, Monday through Friday, just a ton of hours. And then it was Halloween, and we had a bunch of parties, and my husband ran the marathon, and I haven't, like, just sat down and looked at our options yet. So I need to do that. But I'm expecting a hike in rates. I mean, with all these changes that are going on, the Republicans basically, by not approving health care reform, put people in the worst possible position. So we don't really have Obamacare anymore. They got rid of the subsidies that helped people, but we're still stuck with me. I mean, you're still stuck with stuff that you don't really want. So I'm just really disappointed in, like, what's going on. I honestly think, and I hope that people vote out a lot of these lawmakers. I mean, nothing against them personally. I'm sure they're very nice people, but they've just been there too long. They're not getting anything done. There's no fresh ideas. They're scared to death of their own shadows. And I just think we need some new people in there to make some really radical changes that this country needs.
I don't think they're so nice. What the hell? If they were nice, they would take care of me.
I'm trying to be generous. I have a beer with Mitch McConnell. I mean, you know, but it's like, I don't want him in there anymore. I don't think he's really, his value is gone. I think a lot of their value is actually gone.
What did you, by the way, speaking of that, what did you think about the guy who beat the crap out of Rand Paul?
Weird, right? I mean, my mother-in-law lives in Kentucky, so I'm always kind of interested in what's going on with, like, the Kentucky lawmakers. I hear her, you know, talking about him. I don't know what is up with that. I mean, first of all, it just shows that the liberals are going nuts, a lot of them. They just can't control their emotions, and they're going absolutely crazy. They're attacking lawmakers. They're, you know, venting online, saying ridiculous things. They're just gone completely overboard. So I think that shows that, you know, what the liberal side is doing and how they are not able to handle what's going on in the country right now. I hope Rand Paul's okay. I mean, I like him. I think he could be a little bit easier to work with. I mean, he doesn't seem to want to compromise on anything. But I hope he's okay.
No, I mean, obviously I hope he was okay too. But again, I think it just comes down to that some people are starting to get a little bit upset about what's going on. And I mean, I'm pretty disappointed in Donald Trump because, you know, one of the first things on his agenda was, I think this last week, was the term limits. And we haven't heard hide nor ear of term limits. And of course, you and I would both like to see. And again, I don't personally like him. I think that a lot of them are just dirty. But at the end of the day, you need to rotate the House and the Senate with new blood, because new blood brings in more energy and not the same old, same old. I'm sorry. We haven't gotten there yet.
No, absolutely. I mean, we absolutely have to do this. I mean, it's just, I can't believe like the people don't see what's going on in the country. Like, I don't understand. Like, they're so deeply involved, brainwashed in their bubbles that they can't understand how angry people are. You'd think after last year, everything gone through with the election and all the surprises and all that happened, that they would wake up, and they just are not. And I think the only thing that's going to change is just new people. I think it's the only thing that's going to help.
Have you covered much of the Donna Brazile story on your show at all? Have you?
No. Didn't really touch on business too much, so haven't. I've been watching it. I think it's very interesting, but I haven't really covered it.
And it's just more proof. And again, I don't care whether you're a lefty or a righty. Both parties got issues, right? I mean, do we agree on that?
Yeah.
And we just need
to. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's the same thing we've been talking about. I mean, the Clintons have been in the public essentially since the early 90s. And we went through, like, you know, a whole time there where things just, like, blobs just grew. I mean, whether it was government or education or immigration, I mean, there were all these things that just grew and grew and grew, and they just ate each other. And, you know, and now they're all like problems that are costing too much. They're making people mad. So we just, again, goodbye, Clintons. We need new people. We need new generations. We need younger people to come in. And I just think that's the only thing that's going to turn this around.
Or a Donald Trump who's got the energy of a 12-year-old and continues to run around 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God. He's crazy. Like, I'm watching him in Asia, and I'm like, I get tired just going to California and the whole time change thing. Indiana, for that matter. It's only 1 hour difference. And I'm watching him, and he's up at 3 a.m. He's got these dinners, and he's giving speeches. And, I mean, really, he's 70s. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, whether you like the guy or not, you have to admire his sheer stamina.
You have to admire the fact that he works really hard at it. He might do a lot of things that might piss people off, which is fine. That's life. You're allowed to do that. But, I mean, he does work really hard. And he's really, I mean, in my opinion, he's just really trying to make things better. And I think that is the one thing about Trump is he doesn't seem to other than want to take care of himself and make himself look good. He doesn't really care. He just wants to get things better, I think, for the American people. I believe that really is his agenda, in my personal opinion. What are your thoughts?
Too. I think a couple things tell you that. First of all, he had a pretty nice life beforehand. I mean, it wasn't like he was like, you know, Barack Obama and wanted to be president and then write books and give speeches, or Bill Clinton. You know, I mean, he was already super wealthy. So he walked away from that, you know, saw a lot of things he wasn't liking going on with the country. Comes in, I mean, gets abused from every single side. I mean, like I've never seen before. And just keeps dishing it out. I mean, he could handle a few things better, but I don't always mind like him fighting back a little bit too. I think it's, you know, what street fighters do.
And speaking of street fighter, what's going on with the educational program you're working on? What's the next podcast that we got? What do we got up next?
Okay, so really great one. Could be coming up the week of Thanksgiving. I talked to an expert on paying for college. So, I mean, there's a lot of information out there, but she was just really great about kind of boiling it down. You know, I asked her this question: what if your kid's 17 and you don't have a dime saved? What do you do? And you're panicking. So she answers a bunch of questions, gives a bunch of great resources. So Ka-Ching with Jane King, that'll be out the week of Thanksgiving.
Ka-Ching with Jane King, and the one who always brings great information to the Bubba Show, Jane King. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Always great to have you on.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media and the Ka-Ching Report. And she's always good stuff. And of course, her and I have the same goals, and that is to help educate our youth. But we both have the same issues as well. Eventually, you run out of capital. And of course, you can go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading and help out if you'd like. Check it out. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, last but not least, get Bubba's Daily Update for free every single day after the close. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and sign up. You get it for free. And we'll be back after the break with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, The Bubba Show. Top of our
Margie said, Roy, you ain't listening to me.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Bubba Show technical expert, Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I guess Bitcoin's having a little bit of a roller coaster. And, of course, that's one of your specialties, the crypto space. And how do you explain it? And what do you make out of what's going on?
Yeah, it's all over the place. I think the fundamental argument that's going on is there was an upcoming split that was canceled. It was for what's called SegWit 2x, where they were going to increase the block size for mining Bitcoin. And I don't tend to get into the real nitty gritty on the fundamental backdrop, but technically it did get up to on that initial announcement that they were going to cancel the fork. It did jump up to 8,000, which is or almost 8,000, where I was looking for it to peak out, at least temporarily. And yeah, now we've had overnight, we've had huge volatility. Got down into the 5,000s. I think around 5,400 was near the low, and now it's all the way back up to 6,200, 6,300. So it's really like you said, a roller coaster.
Now, one of the questions that I have for you about this whole space, Matt, is there's so many, they just keep opening them up. And I go, well, where's the sense? How does that work? Is that legitimate? Is that really going to work? Or are there some scam artists out there trying to just take advantage of some of this?
Well, a bunch of them are scams. There's two different kinds of coins. There's the coins that are out there that are where they want this to be a currency, where the coin being introduced is to be a currency, so you exchange it for goods and services and so forth. But then you have coins that are being released more in terms of like what you would think of as startup companies, where what they do is they have some kind of either a game or an app or something that they want to sell, and it's they go to Silicon Valley to get they go to VCs to get funded. And instead, what they're doing is they're issuing coins that basically represents, in a sense, shares in their company, and it can be used on their platform for their game or for the app or for whatever it is. So it's all those additional those coins. Some of them are scams. Some of them are more or less legit. So those don't really bother me as far as diluting, what will be a currency. But some of these other ones that are coming out, they are a little bit, some are scams, but some, they're coming up with technical improvements on some of the existing ones. You know, Bitcoin is not technologically it's not the best, but it is the oldest, and it does you know, have the biggest network effect already. And if, you know, some of these technological improvements can be made to it, then it can continue to be, you know, the number one. But you see right now, Bitcoin Cash, which has that larger block size and can potentially have a faster speed in terms of commerce, it's gaining from what Bitcoin is losing.
Okay. And now, one of the questions that I have for you, and I know this isn't really strong suit, but you know, when I see things and I go, okay, so all of a sudden now you got Ron Paul advertising for Bitcoin for your IRA. Okay. It reminds me of the gold stores in 2011 when gold was peaking. Does that give you any concern? I know it's not something you follow, but does that give you any concern about what might happen with these cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, it does. You want to sense whether there's euphoria out there, mania, and you know, it's starting to feel a little bit that way. I just started seeing those, you know, commercials online, and you know, Bitcoin IRA and those types of things. I don't think we're at the, you know, the say sort of eighth or ninth inning of the bubble yet, and I think that's because it's just still too few people are involved at this point. And just on a size basis, I mean, at roughly $175 billion in market cap for the entire space, maybe it's changing all the time, so let's just say under $200 billion, it's basically the whole space is about the size of Home Depot, its market cap. So I don't think it's crazy yet. I don't think we're yet there's going to be a lot of volatility, and it's going to get bubblicious, and we're going to have a big crash at some point. But I don't think we're there yet. I do have concerns about Bitcoin because, like we talked about last time, you know, RSI, monthly RSI is roughly at 90. It was at like 92, and weekly and daily RSIs were over 80. So it had gotten overbought. It got up to our target, but I think we're gonna experience volatility along the way, which
that's a good thing. Yeah. Volatility. I mean, I have no problem with that. But so of course, you know, we've got the announcement of the tax plans out, and of course, you've continued to say that you expected the NASDAQ to possibly go to 8,000 at some point. And of course, it's certainly well on its way. But I think that the general market, the Dow has been actually a little bit stronger than NASDAQ, and the Russell's been, you know, pretty weak. I think the Russell dropped about 2.5-3% last week. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, Russell was down 1.4% last week, and that was good. You know, we had been talking about IWM, which is, you know, what I track a little bit more closely, the ETF itself, and you know, it got down to 145. That was my target on the downside. That was my minimum target to the downside, because that was the breakout level of about 6 weeks ago, and we returned there. We had shorts on that we covered there at 145. The Dow has been, you know, sort of in the middle, and more recently, like last 2 weeks, the NASDAQ's been the strongest. Dow got to the target we talked about, 23,000. I said 23,600 to 23,625. That's where I was looking for it to have at least a temporary peak. And, you know, we got to 23,602. So right in that zone. And then we've had a 300-point pullback. You know, that might be it. I don't think so. I think we're going to get a little bit more downside. You know, these pullbacks have been very shallow, and you know, up to this point at least. So I do think we're going to get a little bit more of a pullback out of the Dow, and probably out of the S&P as well. But then I do think we're setting up for a year-end rally.
Right. That was my next question. Does the seasonality of anything come into play in your mind when you're looking at your charts? I mean, do you say that, you know, typically, you know, this time of year is a little bit stronger? And if you weigh in, of course, the volume did pick up a little bit, but if you weigh in the weak volume and weak volatility, I mean, that would set up perfectly for a, as they say, the Santa Claus rally.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the other things I'm looking at are not, they're not, you know, the problem is when you start seeing, you know, minor sell-offs, minor corrections, when they begin, you usually want to see, you know, more room to the downside on multiple indicators. And I'm not really seeing that. So, for example, we had, high yield bonds. I'm looking at HYG. It fell a couple dollars. And that's, you know, fairly big move for HYG. And it's already oversold to the state that it usually bounces back. So, if we're looking for a bounce in high yield, that typically precedes, you know, moves in stocks. So that would mean we probably get a bounce in stocks as well. So if in that condition, I really don't expect a whole lot more. I think we'll get a little more downside from stocks, but I don't think it's going to be dramatic. I do think the way things are setting up, we'll probably get, we will get a Santa Claus rally.
Now, is there a dramatic sell-off in your work later at some point, or not? You don't see that yet?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I think when we get to NASDAQ 8,000, forget it. Then we're talking about 2008 all over again. So, but I mean, that's obviously a ways away. But I think NASDAQ's going to be the strongest going forward. I think it's going to, I think that is, you know, when this is, by the way, it's a that target at 8,000 is declining. So by the time we get there, it might be a little bit lower. But the overall point is, I think, you know, it has more upside. I think down S&P probably do as well, but just not as much. And then I think, yeah, we're going to get – when this ends, it's going to end pretty nastily.
It's going to end poor, as it always does. And, of course, we've got the pundits out there with the this time is different momentum and talk. And, of course, you know, you're a technical guy. And so you say and look at it and go, well, this is where it should go to. And, of course, you've been dead on, spot on. And there's a lot of things going on. But when we come back from the break, I need to talk to you about oil because that has been pretty wild. But this is the Bubba Show. I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're with our expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his newsletter. A lot of great details there that can help you become a better trader and investor. So make sure you check him out, and make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day. You can also download The Sporting Edge on the weekends, and the boys have been on fire with their handicapping selections. Of course, don't forget Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you every day for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. A little box will pop up. You fill it out, and every day after the close, you get a little bit of a 3 to 5 minute video just with me explaining what I think is going to happen, what did happen, and what I think will happen the next day. And this is The Bubba Show. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. We'll be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show's technical expert. And again, I urge you to check out his newsletter. He's got a great information, and every week he sends out something that really has a lot of pertinent stuff that you need to understand. And Matt, oil, you and I've been short longer than you, and of course, it's getting to a point, getting a little bit scary here. It's as it tries to push up towards 58. I think it's all a bunch of BS from my side of the pond or side. But what are you seeing in oil, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I would say that it's broke. It's gone farther than I thought it would go. So there was a clear resistance line right around, trying to nail down exactly where it was. It was about, you know, 50, it was about 55, and it was declining. So when we hit it, we got to it at about high 54s, 54.80, you know. And November 3rd is when it really clearly broke out for me. And that was the day before all these arrests in Saudi Arabia. So it was clearly, to me, it was clearly anticipating that that was about to happen. Somebody knew, obviously. And that's what really sort of punched through the line on my work. But that was a major line. So the fact that we're now through is a little bit concerning. I think what we should expect on as far as a minimum pullback now, I think we're going to come back down to the outside of that line, and it's declining. So I think that's going to be, you know, around 54. So I want to see how it reacts to 54, to the outside of that prior resistance line. So when at that, when we come back down to 54, I'm probably going to cover. If we can, you know, punch back below that that resistance line that's now acting as support, then we can get short again. But I'm thinking we do get a pullback, but I think that we could actually bounce back off to the upside because it shouldn't have broken that line. And now that it has, I think we could go higher. The highest I have another major target. It's declining, but it's at 68. And not 68, it's at 64. So if we go to 64, that's, to me, that's the end. I mean, that will be...
If we go to 64, I'm going to quit trading.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm just saying I'm a little bit concerned because we broke a major resistance line.
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand from your standpoint, but I'm just saying that if we go to 64, I quit. All right. Now, you called copper and you called the perfect move. I don't know, it was about 3 or 4 months ago. And of course, copper has spent some time running back up a little bit. What's your views on copper now?
So I'm still bearish on copper. The commercials are hugely bearish on copper. Every move up, they're hitting it with more shorts. It's on short term support right now. It's about 307, 307 and a half. And, I think, you know, we can get back up to, I'd actually like to see, we have a two-thirds position on, and I'd like to put the last third on, but I'm waiting for just a little bit higher. I want to get it up to 335-ish. At that level, I think that will probably be the top, and that's where we'll put that third contract short. We're doing okay. We're actually profitable on it.
Right.
And, we could take profits right now, but I think this is going to be a big move to the downside once it peaks. So holding on to those shorts and want to add one more on.
No, it makes sense. And then of course, the euro currency, tested into the 115 to now push back up to close to 117.
Yeah.
Is your target, was that 122 target declining or is that still flat 122?
More or less flat, that target. And I don't know if it's going to be reached because I don't, you know, it would mean that the dollar would probably, for it to get to 122, it would probably mean the dollar would have to go below 91. And I don't really see that happening anymore. It could. I'll just have to see how things play out. But, we were talking about the euro last time, and I said if we broke below 115.5, then I was going to have a problem with it. And it held on by, just a few ticks, basically. And it's held, though. It's held rising support. So, it still has a shot to get up to at least, you know, probably 120, something like that. And then I want to see the dollar get down to maybe 91 and a quarter, 91 and 0.35, something like that. And that's where I would see, you know, reversals happen both in the dollar and the euro.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I don't see the dollar going down that low, but listen, anything can happen. And that's that, you know, that's part of the game. I think the dollar looks pretty good. And of course, you did call the first time. I think you bought some down around 91 or 92, right?
Yeah, we did. We bought a little bit earlier than that. I think we bought at 92 and a half, 93. But yeah, we did buy. And I think we might have added that 91. But in any case, we sold on this pop up. Because I wasn't happy with the fact that the euro hadn't made it to its target. So, I'd actually be, you know, hoping for some dollar weakness so we could get back in.
Now, I know you've been, you know, you follow the DBA, which is the agricultural ETF. And, of course, it's been kind of dead, which makes sense. I mean, the markets have been totally dead and that it represents. You have any thought to that? This is traditionally a time where those start to get seasonally stronger. Are you playing in that at all right now, or are you still just watching?
Still just watching. I don't think that in DBA in particular, I'm looking for sort of mid-17s for where a real strong bottom could take place. And so it's in the 19s now. So I think sort of the whole agricultural space, you know, this is a broad brush, but I think the whole space is not really going anywhere anytime soon for me. But obviously individual, you know, ag commodities can do whatever they want.
No, I'm with you. It's a very dead area. But again, at some point, you know, sometimes things are dead. They all of a sudden get some energy. And I'm, you know, obviously the problem is time to time when we'll get some energy. And you know, that's always the issue that we watch after. And of course, the bonds, you know, TLT, which is what you track, but the bonds have been, you know, they had a nice little rally, and all of a sudden they took the entire rally away on Friday. Boom, goodbye. And yeah. What's your take of those markets?
It's a confusing market, that one. You know, there's with TLT, there's support down at 2230, and that's sort of my last line in the sand. We had one at 123, it broke it, and that's pretty critical. The fact that it broke 123, that means eventually we're going to get some more significant weakness. The next one down is 122.30, and then I don't really have a whole lot of support below that. At that point, if we broke 122.30, I'm thinking 116 is basically a done deal, that we would get down to about 116, and that's a little bit lower than the prior lows that we had early in the year and late 2016. So overall, you know, I want to be more bearish this market than bullish, because it's now in that secular bear market. I'm just looking to short. The rallies that we get. And if we got a rally up to 131, which is where I see next resistance, I would definitely be adding shorts there.
I don't blame you. I'd be adding shorts almost anywhere. I think that, you know, again, the bond market interest rates should rise. And now I know that you don't take any news into play when in your analysis, but did you look at the tax plan at all? And did you have any opinion?
No, I didn't really look at the tax plan. I know that, you know, I know some of the very few basics, like that it may be delayed. The actual implementation may be delayed a year or so. And that the the state and local deductions might be removed. But I didn't, you know. I don't have a strong opinion about it, but I am curious if what your opinion is.
Well, I think it's a bunch of horse crap. I think it's a terrible plan, as I figured it would be. It takes nothing into consideration about debt or anything else. And of course, when big corporations are going to pay less than small corporations for taxes, to me, that's gives them another unfair advantage. But that's life in the big city. And this is our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his newsletter. It's got great information and shows a commitment to treasure, all the other good stuff. And Matt, as always, great to have you on the air today.
Todd, always great to be with you. Thanks.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to call it a day, but in the meantime, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends and Bubba's Daily Update, which can be found at bubbatrading.com. You can get an email directly to you every single day after the close. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you tuning us in. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.